thank you. As usual, we're joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
Maureen Moakley is away this week. Filling in for her is the investigative reporter for WPRI TV Channel 12, Tim White. Thanks for joining us, Tim.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And we're pleased to welcome as our guest the newest member of the General Assembly, State Senator John Pagliarini, a Republican from Tiverton. Thank you for joining us, Senator.
No problem. Thank you, and good morning.
Hundreds of people came to the State House this week to testify against and for a series of gun-related bills. One of the measures aims to keep guns away from those convicted of some domestic violence-related crimes. Senator, we know you're a big Second Amendment guy, so do you think this legislation would really be effective in helping to reduce violence at all?
No, I think it's good intent, but bad bills. You're talking erosion of the Second Amendment, confiscation, and seizure of ownership of firearms. When you talk about domestic violence and firearms in the same sentence, I want you to think of the acronym COP, Control, Ownership, Possession. All the bills that were proposed are talking about prohibiting ownership if you are under these charges. Well, ownership and possession are two different things that need to be looked at. You can own a firearm but not be in possession of it. You can own a firearm and not be in control of it. So I have objections because they take away ownership of the firearm.
Scott, one of the gun rights supporters who testified this week said that of the roughly 52 or so domestic violence deaths in Rhode Island over the last decade, more than twice as many have occurred without guns than with a gun. So does that show that this legislation would not really change the situation?
I think the harder you make it for people who have domestic violence crimes to get guns, the better it would be for the state. One thing that's interesting about Rhode Island, we have one of the lowest gun ownership rates in the country, around 13%. We also have, except I believe for Hawaii, the lowest gun violent rate. So I think there is some kind of a synergy here. And I think we should make it more difficult if you've got a domestic violence, then I don't think you should have a gun.
Can you remind me of something, Scott? Is this an election year?
Yeah, of course.
So I think that that the conversation almost is moot. I don't think the House Speaker has any inclination to allow any of this legislation to pass, particularly during an election year. So he's a Second Amendment guy, right? And he's made it perfectly clear that he doesn't want to see any of this legislation get through. So I don't think we're going to see anything happen.
And I think you're right, Tim. As we know, the legislature has been very reluctant as a whole to make any changes on gun rights. Mm-hmm. In other news this week, two state reps want Governor Gina Raimondo to get an opinion from the state Supreme Court on the constitutionality of the state's new truck toll law. Tim, do you think this is an issue that could go anywhere?
No, I don't. I don't think the Raimondo administration has any appetite. Look, they signed the bill into law. The optics of them going back and going, hey, let's get a state Supreme Court, this, you know, advisory opinion on it, that's just not going to happen. But more importantly, I think, is if Rep Morgan, who is one of those reps that proposed it, she's looking at the wrong court, in my opinion. I think that if this is going to play out anywhere, it's going to happen in the federal court. Chris Maxwell from the Truckers Association had said that they need them to start tolling so there are quote-unquote victims, and that he thinks it would be the federal court where they would file a lawsuit. So I don't think any advisory opinion from the state would have an impact at all.
Senator Pagliarini, you've been an outspoken critic on the tolling issue. Where do you see this headed, if anywhere, in court?
In court, I'll agree with Tim. I believe it is going to end up in federal court. However, I think the governor should heed the request of the two representatives, because it's the prudent thing to do. The Rhode Island Supreme Court can look at federal issues. We buy an awful lot of insurance in this state. We bought it for 38 studios. Well, that didn't work out so well for us. But by going to the Rhode Island Supreme Court and seeking an opinion before we spend $65 million on gantries is a prudent move, and the governor should do it.
Scott, we know the governor was criticized for moving too hastily last year on roadworks. Do you think there's any possibility the administration might not have done its legal homework in moving ahead with this plan for new tolls on big trucks.
You know, I thought this whole plan was in deep contrast, really, to what our governor did when she was state treasurer on the pension situation, where she really did her due diligence and put out a very, very well-done plan. And this tolling thing all the way through has been a series of starts and sputtering halts, and she changed the idea. I think the House did a good job, basically, in waiting a year to put this through. The tolls are lower. They have a compromise. And I don't think the courts really, and they usually won't, really get in and stop something that the legislative side of government has done, and by a pretty big margin, we have to look, both in the House and Senate.
Lastly, in the news this week, Robert Kulmus Healy passed away at the age of 58. He was a colorful political figure and surprised a lot of people by getting more than 21% of the vote in the 2014 gubernatorial race while spending only about $35. Scott, what do you think the Kulmus's political legacy is in Rhode Island?
Well, he was a very interesting guy. He was a man of both, I call, studied eccentricity and also unvarnished candor. And he also had a great wit. I'll never forget when he ran for the Warren School Board, and he admitted that he smoked pot occasionally, and he said he had a slogan. It's called "School Should Be Cool." And then right after he became the chairman of the committee, a high school bus in the old Warren High School, a kid got stopped smoking pot on the bus, so we had to get some reaction from the chair of the school board, and he said, "Well, school shouldn't be that cool."
Senator John Pagliarini, how will you remember Bob Healy?
Fondly. I met Bob many years ago when I was the Bristol tax assessor, and he was a local attorney who would come in. But I really got to know him in 2002 when the two of us ran for lieutenant governor. I will remember I got more votes than he did. No. But Bob and I stayed in contact for the decade after. And when I announced I was running in October, I ran into Bob at Bristol Town Hall, and we made a gentleman's agreement. And he drafted the Senate Bill 2385 that's pending before the Special Legislation Committee now. And I introduced the bill.
Any shot for that bill going forward?
I would hope, but, you know, this is his legacy. So I hope that we'll get a fair hearing and get a good shot on it.
And Tim White, how will you remember Bob Healy?
Well, Ian, I think he showed you didn't have to dress the part to be effective. I mean, I know he only won the Warren School Committee at the time, though he ran for governor four times and lieutenant governor three times, I think. But he had a knack for shaking up campaign season and putting it, having everybody look at it very differently. And look, I think people saw a caricature of a guy if they were just watching the newscast, but when you talked to him, when you interviewed him, he was super smart. And that's exactly how I'm going to remember him. I love bumping into him in the sandbox of Rhode Island. He was very smart, a great guy.
I would agree with everything our panel has said, and certainly Bob Healy will be missed. That's all the time we have, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Political Roundtable. Scott.
Thank you.
Tim White from Channel 12.
Thanks, Ian.
And State Senator John Pagliarini.
Thank you very much.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our political blog at rapr.org.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.